God is good. Amen?
All the time.
And all the time. Isn't it funny the little things we do? I love it. Four more sleeps. Gentlemen, you know what that means, right? It means it's time for you to start your Christmas shopping. Right? Now that the ladies have finished getting gifts for everybody else, it's your turn to go and try to find something that's left in the stores that you can get for her. Now, personally, I'd recommend going to Cabela's or Bass Pro, as they still have a great supply of just stuff that I'm sure would impress her on Christmas morning. Now, if you are new here today, I'm Pastor Bert, and I hope you didn't take any of that seriously. Because the men here are not like that. In fact, I'm quite sure that the guys have all done their Christmas shopping already. And the only reason they stopped at Cabela's is because they already cleared out Sephora's and Simon's. So you're good. It's all good. Now, you might be wondering how I'm going to segue this into my message this morning. Well, so am I. So rather than try to do anything clever, come up with something, I just want to come up with something simple because that's like me. Advent means coming. Means coming. And it can seem like a bit of a misnomer, but during the four busiest weeks of the year, we stop. We slow down. In the middle of the rush and ruckus, we remember one quiet, holy night. God came near. And when he did, everything began to turn. And we've been talking about this all month, right? This turning all month. A turning towards hope when people felt forgotten. That's what the first candle represents. A turning toward peace in the world filled with fear. A turning towards joy in the middle of ordinary and often difficult lives. And today we get to come and light our final candle, which represents love. Love. As we light it, I just want to be clear where we're going this morning here a little bit, because, you know, we could spend our whole time talking about the love of God and how deeply he loves us, right? And that love is real, and it's steady, and it's life-changing, right? We can all attest to that. But in many ways, we've been swimming in those waters this whole month. Today, I want us to look at what happens after love comes. What does love do? Because biblical love is never content to stay put. It moves, it speaks, and it goes. Throughout this series, we've been watching scenes from the chosen Christmas episode called Holy Night. And the scene that we're about to see happens right after the angels disappear on the hillside. The shepherds are running toward Bethlehem, but then suddenly they're running away from it. And one of them says something so simple and so profound: people must know. People must know. So let's watch it together. Well, we've seen it dramatized. Now let's hear it straight from the account from the early church historian named Luke. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. So Luke tells us that the shepherds told everyone. 1 minute, they're rushing to Jesus. And the next minute, they're rushing to everyone. Which brings us to our first point this morning to look at, and that's the fact that he came and they went. Jesus came and the shepherds went. In many ways, these shepherds, you could say, were the very first evangelists in the Bible. Before there were apostles, before there were sermons, even before the church existed, there were shepherds. Ordinary, working class folk who couldn't keep the good news to themselves. And here's what I love. They never took a class on how to do it. Right? There was no Bible college. They didn't have their training materials to go through to see how do I tell people about Jesus. They simply told people what they'd seen and heard. Right? All they knew really is what the angel had told them and what they'd seen. In Luke 2:10, it says, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Those were the angel's words. And that word, all, mattered. It was for everyone. It wasn't this private information, this hidden spiritual secret that was just for them. This was news that was meant to be shared. And when the angel said, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Well, I'm sure that sealed it for them. These shepherds weren't scholars, but they knew enough scripture to know what that meant. Messiah meant rescue. Messiah meant hope. Messiah meant everybody needed to hear about this. And when you think about it, shepherds were really the perfect ones for the job. Shepherds were used to watching out for others. They knew how to guide. They knew how to protect. They knew how to call out warnings. They knew what it meant to leave comfort behind, to search for what was lost. In fact, the Bible's filled with shepherd imagery, showing God's heart towards his children. Give you some examples. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Ezekiel 34:15-16, I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. And then Jesus in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd who is willing to die for the sheep. It almost seems to me like God chose shepherds because they already knew, they understood something special about God's heart. So they ran to Bethlehem and they ran through the streets. People must know. He came, they went. And their motivation was just to let them know what had happened. Which brings us to the next step really for us and our second point. It's that he came, like the shepherds, we go. We must go. That pattern, his coming, inspiring going, shows up everywhere in the Bible's account of Jesus in the early church. When you think of it, from the very beginning, people moved and went places and goed. Is goed a word? Because Jesus came, right? The shepherds, which we saw, the Magi from the east. John the Baptist goes. The disciples go. And after the resurrection, Jesus doesn't say, just stick around here and admire me, what I've done for you. He says, go. It becomes the church's mission. Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. And in Luke's account, we see that he breaks it down even further for us. In Acts 1:8, he says, you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But notice where it starts. Jerusalem, where Jesus' followers were already at. In the same way the shepherds started where they were already at, right? In Bethlehem, where life was familiar, where people knew their names. Compared to Jerusalem, it was a small town, not probably a whole lot different than Devon. In a town like ours, people recognize each other at the grocery store, right? At the rink, strolling along the river valley. In a small town, news isn't abstract or stay hidden, like the runaway blow-up snowman last week, right? News travels. It travels through conversations, or at least through the rant and rave. And that's important for us, I think, to understand this morning. Because when it comes to this week's theme of love, Jesus summed it up this way. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Which is definitely something that those posting on Rant and Rave would do well to remember. Right? And it's interesting. When you realize that the word neighbor literally means the ones nearest you. Those nearest to you. The one nearest to you. Most of the time, loving people for Jesus doesn't begin standing on a stage with a microphone or jumping on a plane with your passport. It begins with simply noticing. Noticing those who are nearest to you. In a place like Devon, we notice when somebody's struggling, don't we? Like the families that were affected by the Athabasca Acres fire a couple years ago. Or the gentleman that's always eating alone at Norma D's. We notice when a house goes dark. And we notice when someone stops showing up. Don't we? When it comes to God's love, sort of reminds me of the North Saskatchewan, our river valley that runs through our, along our community, right? You don't have to go far to find it. It's just there, shaping really our town. But sometimes you can forget about it until you stop and look, especially in the fall, right? It's gorgeous. God's love, I think, is meant to move us like that, flowing quietly, steadily, every day through our lives. So let me ask you gently this morning, who is nearest to you in our town? Who's nearest to you right now? A neighbor you wave at, but never really talk to? Co-worker who's tired, running on empty. Maybe a family member who needs you this Christmas. Shepherds did not start with the Roman Empire. They started with Bethlehem. They started at home. And we've been commissioned to start the same way. He came, we go, starting with those nearest to us. But as our next point says, we don't stop there. He came, we keep going. Love does not stop nearby. Acts 1:8 keeps going from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the ends of the earth. Jesus pushes his followers beyond what's comfortable, beyond what's familiar, and beyond their borders. Again, Mark records it plainly. Go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. This global heartbeat has always been a part of the church. And it's been a foundation of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, which we're affiliated with. from the very beginning, early Canadian Pentecostals did not have much influence or resources. But like the shepherds, they were convinced of one thing: people must know. So they prayed, they gave, and they went. And today, the churches in small towns like Devon, through us, God is still reaching the world. Not all of us are called or even able to go to the ends of the earth, but all of us can be a part of it, right? When we support missions, when we pray for global workers, when we give generously, we are participating in the same movement that began on a hillside outside of Bethlehem. From Devon to the nations, he came, we go, and we keep on going. Which brings us to our closing point today. He came. So people must know. They must know. You know, most weeks when we leave this place, I don't know what exactly impact it'll, what kind of impact it'll have on your life. But some weeks as a pastor, I know exactly what I hope will happen. And when we leave this room, this is one of those weeks, one of those times. But rather than tell you what I hope for, I want to show you in one more scene from Holy Night. It's short, but I think it captures the heart of everything we've been talking about. It's a scene, I believe, of what love looks like when it refuses to stay quiet. Let's watch it. Jesus came for all. Love came for all. This is the Christmas message, right? The message of joy, message of hope, of peace, and most importantly, it's a message of love. That God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. That's the message of Christmas. It's a message that we have had the privilege of receiving and the responsibility of sharing. Let's take advantage of the season and help turn people's attention to the babe in the manger. But help them to find their way to the risen Lord and Savior. Amen? And so, before we close this message, let me ask you one last question. Have you found the real meaning of Christmas? By accepting God's gracious gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He truly is the reason for the season. But more important, he's the reason for your life. He came to give you a life of joy, of hope, of peace, of love. But it can only be found through turning back to God, by placing your faith and trust in Jesus as the forgiver and the leader of your life. And if you're ready and wanting to do this, to receive God's gracious gift to you today, the greatest gift you'll ever receive this or any Christmas, and you can pray along with me in just a moment. As we all bow our heads together, I'm just going to lead you with some simple words that I hope will help, that will reflect how you're feeling today. And if you want to pray along with me, could you just let me know quickly by raising your hand so that I know who I'm praying with. Thank you. Again, just pray along with me silently and God will hear you because he already knows your heart. Dear God, I really don't understand it all yet, but I think I finally realize why we celebrate Christmas. It's because you love us so much that you came and you made a way to know you and be with you forever. So please forgive me for everything I've done wrong and become the leader of my life today. As I accept your Christmas gift of eternal life, please accept the humble Christmas gift of my life today. As I choose to start to live for you now and forever. Thank you for coming, Jesus. Help me now to go and to tell others the good news of who you are and what you've done. It's in Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you please fill in one of those connect cards that's in the seat in front of you that Pastor Cole mentioned earlier and connected to the live stream. There's a link there for you. And we'd love to connect with you, help you, and provide some resources that will help you start your journey with Jesus. And I want to invite you as well. This Wednesday is Christmas Eve. And I want to invite you out to come and from 6 to 7, 1 hour, we're going to just read through the Christmas story, sing some carols, and have just a nice reflective evening of focusing on the reason for the season. So I hope to see you then.
Well, why don't you stand with us?